Please turn very quickly to Matthew chapter 11. You'll notice the theme throughout that presentation was definitely planned. And it's not just a shameless pandering to get you to come to camp. You know, you saw the come and see, come and visit, come and experience, come and serve. You know, all of those different elements, the songs you heard, come unto me, you know, I come, you know, all of those different things. If you remember back, the song that our family sang was Come Learn From Me. So all of this kind of culminating into this brief challenge that's really kind of the heartbeat of our ministry this year. I try to pick a theme of our ministry, and this would be the theme that I would have, at least for myself, and then hopefully expanding to my family. And that's more than just a heartfelt invitation that would be to you. Sure, we'd love you to come to camp. And that is an open invitation at all times. But it pales in comparison to the divine invitation that we have here in Matthew chapter 11. And so I want to look at the distinctive ingredients of a divine invitation. I read one time where the author said, and I'm sure you've heard something like this before, that the gospel is for sinners. Well, guess what? I'm still a sinner. And so in that way, I still need to hear the truths of the gospel. I need to rehearse it for myself. I need to live that daily. Similarly, this invitation is not just for the unsaved, I believe. This invitation is for sinners. And when we go down, let's read starting in verse 25, just for time's sake. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, some of you heard in my testimony the other night at the tutoring night a little bit of this come and take and rest. And the reason you heard it there and the reason I'm speaking on it now is because this is what I've really put my heart and mind into this year, that this is something I need. I need to answer this invitation on a daily basis because I toil and I struggle and I need to learn from Christ. And I need to find some type of easy burden, that yoke that is favorable for me. And I think we all do in a certain degree. And so when you see that, you know, these verses here are in a stark contrast to the tone and theme of the previous five verses, which were of condemnation. And now we have a tone of revelation compared to that condemnation. And he really goes through and explains why. And shows us why then, how then, is this revelation taking place. And I see three distinct ingredients of this divine invitation. And very beginning there, in verses 25 and 26, we see that God the Father, God Himself, is the master of this invitation. Jesus Himself says, I thank you, Father. That thank you literally means more of a praise with acknowledgement of truth. I praise you knowing something about you. He praises him. It's almost, one commentator put it, an adoring acquiescence. He's praising him, he's thanking him, he's expressing his love to him, but at the same time acquiescing to then what we see is his will. So he's to be praised for his loving kindness as Father and for his sovereignty as Lord. He thanks him. He says, I praise you that you are Father and Lord, that you love as a father and that you rule as Lord. And both of those qualities are evident in the fact that he does conceal and he does reveal. We see that later on, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding. Look back to verses 20 to 24. They rejected him. We see instances that they exalted themselves. And he's saying, that's not how it's done. And if you think you're wise, if you think you're prudent, then I'm going to hide this truth from you because you obviously do not understand what needs to happen in coming to me. But we also see his love, that he does reveal himself to little children. Obviously not an age type of revealing here, but those who are as little children, and in that, completely dependent on someone else. You know, the one he conceals himself from are those who think they know, and the one he reveals himself to is the one who needs to know. And that's the difference. There's a marked difference between his sovereignty in concealing himself and his love in revealing himself. To those who reject him and trust in his own knowledge, but on the other hand, to those who are completely dependent upon him as childlike disciples. And so we see then in verse 26 that even Jesus Christ submits to his will, and he is to be pleased. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. I will submit this to you, that loving acquiescence where he says, I'm praising you, I'm thanking you as Lord and Father. We also see in verse 27 that not only is God the master of the invitation, but Christ is the messenger of this invitation. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Christ claims to be the exclusive agent of this knowledge of the Father. And he has every right to. He has every reason to. The intimate personal relationship that is there between Father and Son is because of the intimate reciprocal knowledge that they have of one another. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. But out of that intimate relationship, there leads to a unique authority that Jesus Christ has. He says, not only do we know each other, but the others who can know you are the ones that I have the power to reveal them to. Now, Christ himself is the exclusive agent. He is now the messenger of this invitation. And that leads to then the actual invitation itself, and where we now see that not only is God the master of the invitation and Christ the messenger of that invitation, we, lowly sinners like me, we are the motive for that invitation. He says, come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. All who labor, all who toil, all who struggle, all who attempt to do it all on their own. He says, you cannot find the way. You must come to me. And also those who are heavy laden, those who are burdened down with the expectations of others. You know what? You can't do it your own way, and you can't do it anybody else's way either. Look at the time of day they're talking about. They look at the, and this is, you know, I think specifically for them. He has just rehearsed, you know, we don't know if it's just rehearsed chronologically, but he has rehearsed these cities, thought they could do it their own way. And they're living in the midst of a religious order that says, you have to do it our way. And he's saying no to all of it. He's saying, no, you can't labor yourself, and you can't labor through someone else's expectations. You must come to me. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke imagery there. Yokes could be looked at as pretty positively. You know, if I yoke together with someone, we can get something done a little easier. Well, that's not the imagery being used. Christ is not working with us. It is the negative connotation, but in a positive light. It is a yoke of slavery. But he's saying, not the yoke of slavery that you've submitted to yourselves naturally. Not the slavery to sin. Now take my yoke, my discipleship, my grace. Submit yourself to me, and then you'll find rest. And so that the exchange is one slavery for another. You're still yoked. You still are under bondage, as it were, but this bondage actually is freedom. So I exchange slavery to sin, which is weariness, for service to Christ, which is rest. And that's why he finishes, and each of those, come to me, what will you find? Rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, and what will you find? Rest. And so it is that eternal, joyful, spiritual rest which we are promised because of this invitation. And that's for sinners. I was sharing with Sunday school class this morning, this week is going to be a very trying week for me. There are a lot of things going on. And my tendency, and the reason that this has become my theme of my ministry, my tendency is to rely upon my self-sufficiency, saying, I've been program director a long time. I think I know what's going on now. You know, I've done this before. I can probably do it again. And I rely upon my own strength. I try to do it my own way. And I'm telling you right now, if there is any way for you to pray for me, not just this week, but always, is that I will not rely upon myself. That I will not labor. That I will not be weary from that. That I will come to Christ. That I will take His yoke gladly upon me. That I will learn from Him. Because He was gentle and lowly, humble in heart. One commentator said it this way, His willingness to empty Himself to the uttermost in order to fulfill His Father's requirements is the assurance that we will find rest when we do the same. Help me empty myself to the most humblest of positions so that He can fill me up and I'll find rest. So the challenge that I have continually every day, especially heading into a week like this, is don't do it myself. That's why I say this invitation is for sinners all, not just for the unsaved. Because I must come to Christ because I'm weary from trying to do it myself. I must take His yoke upon me because I need to learn a lot, especially when it comes to gentleness and humility. Because I need rest. Not physical rest. I guarantee I'm not getting any of that. But I need spiritual rest. I need to rest in Him. That's my challenge to myself. That's my challenge to my family. And that's my challenge to you. Come to Christ. Take His yoke. Rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You so much for the promises You have in Scripture. We thank You for the invitation that we can come to You. Lord, we've done so in salvation. Help us to continually do so as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, but knowing that You are the power behind it. You are the energy which works in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.